Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, your weekly dose of Porsche culture. With Tech Talk, Heritage, the Ren Builds playlists, along with a massive dollop of waffle, we'll keep you entertained. So subscribe now on any podcast streaming service and YouTube. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to another Tech Talk episode. This episode is with Dave the Trimmer. Now, if you've been in the UK and in the Porsche scene for a while, you'll definitely know who Dave the Trimmer is. If you've been to an event, a Porsche event in the UK, then it's likely you'll have seen his car or a number of his cars he's worked on, because he's one of the best in the UK. There are other trimmers out there, and when I was, my 981 came and is right next to me here, when I was thinking about doing that, it really helped me deep dive into what I was after in terms of not only the products and the kind of work that was going to be done, but actually the people behind it. As anyone that's watched the podcast or listened to the podcast for a while will know, for me it's about the culture, the cars and the people. So this is with Dave, a sit down and a discussion around his 911, his very pretty 911, his 964, but also about his journey all the way through from his starting out in this industry all the way through to where he is right now, and I'm working on my 981. My 981, by the way, that episode is coming out later in the year, and it will be basically taking it from where I left off earlier in the year, getting you all the way from that kind of probably about 50% complete to absolutely complete. And there's some really exciting stuff that's happened since you last saw the car online. If you've been at a show, there's a chance you've seen this car. There's lots happening in the background about where it's going to be in magazines and things, so that's going to be great to see in the future. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy Dave the Trimmer and myself talking about his journey, his tech talk, and his 911. I'll see you at the end. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to... Try again. Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to another Tech Talk episode. Today's episode, if you've watched this channel, you'll have seen by now my 981 Outlaw Cayman and the interior that's been done, so you'll know how good this guy is and the team here at Dave the Trimmer. But this episode isn't just about my car, it's about the backstory of this guy and this beautiful 964. We'll talk about that in a minute. Dave, welcome to the channel properly.
Thank you.
As with all of these episodes, if this is the first time you've watched this, there's a bit of a story arc that happens with these episodes, and it's taking somebody from their youth through their experiences and getting into the trade they're in, you know, what they're doing now, what they've learned over the years, all the way through to what they think about that's going to happen in the future. So Dave, let's start with your youth, mate. Interesting cars from a young age?
I didn't really get into cars straight away. I've been into motorcycles since I was 12 or 13.
Okay.
So motocross, and then I passed my bike test, like my CBT, running around on a 125. Mm. And
any particular 125 fizzy or something like that? Or
it was a Gilera Cougar 125.
Gilera Cougar. Let me know in the comments if you know what a Gilera Cougar is.
That was Harley-esque. I don't know why. It just, first
what,
bike
what
on the road.
Topped up, yeah.
Exactly that. I run that for a year, I think. Then moved on to a GSX R400, I think it was.
Right.
Run my bikes for about 3 years, and it was about 2021 before I passed my car test.
Was it? 2021?
Yeah. 20 or 21.
Oh, right. I was going to be like, 2021? 20 or 21. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But whilst having my bikes in those 3 or 4 years, my first car I bought was a Renault 5 GT Turbo off a friend, which sat on my mum's drive.
Yeah.
Didn't turn a wheel.
Really?
Yeah, it was...
Pop turbo or head gasket?
No, it run and drive. I didn't have a car license, so it just sat there. And that was always the ambition to be my first car, but...
What was the spec of that?
It was Tahiti Rover Blue, I think it was.
Okay.
It'd been repainted. It was a white car originally. Can't remember the power, but yeah.
You could never guarantee what power those things were making anyway.
But yeah, sold that, passed my test, and my first actual car was a classic minivan.
Nice.
Yeah.
60s, 70s.
This one was an 83, so it was towards its end of the production. Didn't have the roof vent, but that was painted in Daytona yellow, which is a Ford RS colour. Completely trimmed that, because I was trimming by that point.
Wow.
Went to car shows, made a bed for the back, and used to sleep in the back at mini shows and stuff. Yeah, that was cool. Had that for about 3 years. But yeah, then just slowly sort of worked through getting other bits and pieces from BMWs and Audis, and quickly realised that the German
products are pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Reliability. Whereas I was daily in a minivan and head gaskets were going all the time.
Did you play with the engine at all, the minivan?
Yeah, blew it up. And there's a company,
1380 with a 1.75 inch.
I didn't go for a 1380, I went for a 1293.
Cool, cool.
Built by a company called Avonbar. I don't know if they're still going, but they were down in Essex Way. But even that, it was quick.
But I mean, it's quick for what it is. Yeah.
But just constantly going through head gaskets. Mm. And I was like, this has got to go. This is doing my head in.
But I bet that sold pretty easily with a nice interior and a hot engine, and it's a van, and they're pretty attractive.
Yeah.
12-inch, 13-inch mini lights? Was it that era?
13s on it, yeah.
Yeah, 13x6 or 13x7 or something like that.
I can't remember the widths. Yeah.
Cool bit, though.
Yeah.
If there is a photo knocking around, I'll stick it in now, B-roll.
I've probably got a photo on my phone. I might be able to ping over.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you were already trimming, so let's go back to that. I'm assuming you weren't thinking about this in school.
No.
So
didn't even know it was a thing.
Didn't know it was a thing. Yeah. Right, okay.
And even when, so it was about 17, I think I was, hunting around to get into the motor trade, going for interviews at like tyre and exhaust places and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And no one was really interested in employing me. I don't know why. Might have been the face, don't know. I used to live in Dunstable, which is about 30 minutes south from here, and there used to be careers offices on the high street back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walked in there, and there was all these like motor trade section, and in the motor trade section it had car upholstery, and just that word car. And I was like, what's that? And I rung them, went for the interview, walked through the door. You should start Monday. I was like, what's the pardon? Okay, so no one else has shown up. You've shown up.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was the start. And that was at a firm.
I'm not a massive believer in fate at all, but when you hear stories like that, that does, and it clearly hasn't been, it's not been a passing job. You've been doing it a long time. Yeah. So to stumble into something, someone just give you a job on a plate that's turned into your life.
Yeah.
What a trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that was January 99 I started there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good guy, good company.
I still keep in contact with him. Yeah, he's now retired. He's living in Newquay. But it was weird, one Saturday, I think I was building the caddy, just tidying up loose ends like towards the end of the project. And one Saturday I was working here and gate rung. Hi Dave, come to see ya. And it was my old boss, he walked in and I was like, holy shit, sort of thing.
Wow.
Might need to bleep that. But yeah, I was like, wow.
Nah, I'd be fine.
Wow, Malcolm, do you know what I mean?
You not seen him for a while then?
I haven't seen him, we were always texting.
Yeah, but actually face to face.
Yeah, face to face. I ain't seen him for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe more.
Wow.
Yeah, he walked in and he was dead proud.
I bet he was. It's like a Miyagi Danielson moment, right?
Exactly, yeah. And like he's basically said, he was a trimmer for 40, 50 years or whatever he was. And he's like, you're the only person that I've trained that's actually done anything.
Wow.
Like, that's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was it, so let's talk a little bit about the difference in production techniques between then and now. Is it as much changed in the industry since you learned is how much of it is applied today and how much of it's kind of
when I was working, he tended to focus more on the older stuff, so you know, pre-60s. But he was getting this the modern era of cars coming through, a lot of dealership networks were in touch, and we would do a lot of warranty work. So like what I'm just still remember now, like doing Porsche Boxsters, I was working on them when they were new, putting replacement black back screens in them or new hoods or Boxsters, and you know, still use those skills today. But yeah, there was a bit of custom work, but not as much as what we're doing.
Not like now, yeah. Yeah, and we can't talk about it much because it's a customer's car that we've, you know, the customer's not given permission, but there's a GT3 Touring just out of shot, and the chap, and it's basically new, it looks perfect inside, and he's having a completely custom retrim, right? And
yeah, so, you know, he's a huge car collector, that's a 2017 model, 20,000 miles, and it's not his flavour, so
yeah.
we are removing all of the interior, changing it from red stitch to yellow stitch, and that is and yellow belts, but you know, he doesn't like the red in there, it's not his flavour.
So there you go.
Yeah, to be trusted in doing, well, working on cars like that, and yours as well, do you know what I mean? It's nice.
So when you were, so how long did you spend with that chap then? You know, how long did you spend in that company, like earning your stripes, learning your craft, becoming an artisan?
I did 3 years with Malcolm, then went to Aston Martin's for 18 months, which I found quite boring.
Really?
Is, you know.
Rinse and repeat boring? Is that what it was?
It's production.
Yeah.
Yeah. So production based, you know, your job is fitting seat covers. You wouldn't even make them. You wouldn't cut the leather. You wouldn't sew the leather. You were just taking a product, put it on, put it on the shelf. Next, exactly the same, apart from it might be a different spec.
Right.
You know, and then I wanted to progress. I wanted to learn more of that car's interior. So I just kept going to the manager, can we do something else? Can every 3 months or every 2 months do something, just put me on something different? So like learn doors and, you know, and they did.
What was his response to that? Yeah, no?
Yeah, he did listen, and I was getting through doing all those bits on DB7, but it still wasn't enough. Like even then, I went and he moved me on to Vanquish when they were new and doing bits and pieces on that, but it wasn't
lighting your fire.
It wasn't for me.
Yeah, not enough change, not enough.
It wasn't challenging enough.
Yeah.
I like being pushed and learning stuff. And I then went back to Malcolm's for another 4 years, I think, before getting fed up with commuting from Milton Keynes to Luton.
Gosh,
on a daily.
Yeah.
You know, could take 20 minutes to half an hour. Some days it could take an hour.
Yeah.
It's just tiring.
Yeah. On a full day, a full, you know, and I'm assuming a lot of it's quite physical. Can be, no?
Within reason, yeah. I mean, you're on your feet. You can be on your feet for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
But lifting seats out of stuff, that's not too hard. But yeah, it's just the sheer time spent in a car got boring.
Were you doing anything at home at the time? Were you kind of getting involved in little hobbles or anything like that?
I did my minivan and my wife's mini, but doing bits and pieces for friends, but it wasn't a business or anything. But shortly after that, we then bought a three-bedroom house and had a garage, so then I turned that garage into a trim shop, if you like, and then started doing stuff for people through friends, word of mouth.
So were you still working for Malcolm at this point?
No, so I left Malcolm's and went to another trim shop, quite close to here, and I did 2 or 3 years there before being made redundant. But in that 2 or 3 years, I built up such a client base, just word of mouth, no advertising, doing bits and pieces for people, like going to car shows and just spreading the word and stuff. But I reduced my hours there to a 4-day week, with the ambition to set up my own company. So pushing that more and more towards the end, and then when we were sitting around doing nothing in this trim shop.
Really?
We had no work, and I was like,
"That's nervous."
You can only do it so long, right?
Yeah. Before you're like,
"Yeah, like we're 3 or 4 guys in a trim shop doing nothing, like not one person working. You just know writing's on the wall." So,
yeah,
me and my wife spent quite a long time making leaflets, like, because we didn't have the money to go to a leaflet company. We were making them on our computer and the laptop and printing
them. The inkjet printer, printing them out. Yeah,
exactly. But then spent Saturdays or evenings, or, you know, just handing these flyers around the whole of Milton Keynes.
Wow.
Anything that was motor trade, that's...
Straight into that. Wow.
And then following week was made redundant. My wife was 3 months pregnant as well.
At that point
as well. No. So I was just like, I really got to make this work.
You've got it. There's no option. Yeah. You know, there's something about that. I've got to hustle.
Yeah.
Like there's no half measures with this. Yeah. I have to hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It was a massive hustle. But yeah, made redundant, got a bit of pay. And there was a unit next to my mate's body shop that was just come up for rent. And I approached a farmer and I said, I'm interested. Paid him the deposit using my redundancy. And then fast forward here.
Let's not fast forward here. Yeah. If you're interested in watching this now or listening to it on any podcast streaming service, we don't want to fast forward anything, do we? So, right, you're in a little unit, you've just set up, right? You've not, your wife's 3 months pregnant. Like, why would we skip this bit?
Yeah.
You must have ended, I mean, it's a chips in the middle of the table. I've got to go and get myself fully kitted out with everything I need to do this as a proper business now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had some kit. I had, obviously, hand tools and a sewing machine because I was working out of my garage. So I had the basics to run a company. It's just there's the leaps at the beginning, like bins.
Right.
I didn't have the money to have like a bitter bin outside the front of the unit. So after each day
stashing
of work,
bits into the bins.
I was having bin bags and taking bin bags to the tip day. And I was like, nah, this is getting silly. I'm doing this far too often. So that it's about progression.
But you can't saturate yourself with debt that early on in a business, right? Because if you'd have like sold yourself up to like loads of different things, your overheads are much bigger than you've got to guarantee your income. And at that time, that early in a business, you just need to keep the wheels moving and just build slowly, right?
But it starts off really slowly, so you work out what you need. So like it started off with a bin, and then it's a landline, so you can have a PDQ machine to take car payments,
right?
And then insurance, and it just escalates.
Yeah.
And I was 9 months in before I employed my first member of staff, but it's a slow burn. But
was that nervous, that first employee that you suddenly it's not, and if you're a kind person, the knowledge that they've got a family probably, or they just need to put food on the table, they need some level of certainty around the fact they're going to turn up and there's work to do, so you're not giving them the same experience that you had where you just stood around looking at the ceiling going
big steps you're responsible for that person for sure.
Amazing. So there's a bit of a missing link here for me is what's the difference between that company that obviously you're not going to speak ill of anybody and I wouldn't expect you to, but what was your USP that made, was it all the word of mouth stuff, the leaflets you and your wife had sort of knocked together? Was it that that gave you a steady customer base, or was it, I don't know, that your output was always really good and strong and high, and what was it? Why was there a difference between a company that was local that was struggling and you were growing? Like what made that happen?
I wish I knew that answer.
Just didn't know,
The work we churn out, we do our best every time.
Mm.
And they did good work. Do you know what I mean?
I can't
dispute that, but why?
Don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that unit isn't this unit, I'm assuming.
No, my old unit was a 4-car unit at a push. You could work on 3 cars. But because my mate was still next door, his unit was 5-6 times the size. So,
really,
we were having cars spilling out the door. So each night we were parking them around in his unit, which, it's another leg up. It was helpful.
Mm, mm.
But it got to the point, I think I was in there 3 years.
So what sort of, what year is this? Mid-2000s, late 2000s?
I started trading in 2012.
Okay.
In there. And left there about 2015.
Wow, not that long that you've been here.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it's going to 10 years, but even so, it's...
Yeah. But, so how we got into this unit, he was a customer and said, of course, it's a bit busy in here, Dave.
It is a bit busy in here.
Yeah, it's a bit busy in
Funnily
here.
Enough, on a working day, there's a bit of noise.
He said, oh, you need a bit more space. Pop up and see me.
Yeah.
And he was quite sound in fairness because this is a big unit for a trim shop. Mm. You know, I get suppliers around all the time that visit trim shops, and they're like,
little sheds, pokey holes.
Exactly. Yeah, they're people working from home or a 2-3-4 car workshop, whereas, you know, we can get 15
in there. Yeah, loads 15, in here.
16 or whatever it is at push. And he was sound because we didn't take the whole unit on at the beginning.
Really?
He goes, I want you to succeed, you know, have half. And then he was a car collector, so, you know, he kept his undersheets at the back.
Yeah.
We barried it off with, like, with fences, and, you know, when he wanted his stuff out, then we'd assist him in getting his vehicles out. But having that opportunity to grow into something rather than go, bang, this is, you know,
suddenly your overheads, and then you're like, oh god,
overheads would have tripled, quadrupled, and you know, we weren't at that stage. But
what a nice guy though to kind of go, you know, I want you to grow, and we'll work it out, and, you know, I'll work with you. I mean, again, that's fortunate, right, to have that sort of.
And even when we took the half, we didn't have the other half in one hit. We, you know, had
just
a third,
inched back,
and then another third. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was sweet. But that moment when we took the whole unit on, it's like, yes,
I bet that was a proper, like, I reckon we've done all right here.
Yeah, it was nice. Really nice.
Mm. So now, talk to me about now then, mate. Like, what's, I mean, because I had to wait a fair while to get in, so you're not struggling for work, right? You guys are pretty maxed.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up. Yeah, and there is a wait time, but, you know, like yourself, you're happy to wait because you know you're going to get a good end product. But it is a shame when people aren't happy to wait and they go somewhere else. But
You know, and Dave's pretty good with socials as well, so, you know, head over to Dave's socials, Dave the Trimmer. And you're pretty good at being fair about, you know, people that turn up and they've had not great work elsewhere. And then being like, okay, this is what we're going to do to rectify that. And there was a Beetle RSI. I don't know if it's gone now.
It's gone, yeah. That was last week's job.
Right.
But, yeah.
There's a headlining, I think, wasn't it?
It was a headlining, yeah. Someone did struggle. I'm not going to...
Of course.
It's not the right thing to do, but they struggled. And that they did things that weren't necessary if you carried out the right methods. And... the end result in that was fantastic. Customer stoked because he's had to.
He's been on a journey.
He's paid twice as well, but he's got a great end product now, and he knows a person with another 3 RSIs. I mean, these are rare cars.
They are. Yeah. And really cool, you know,
really
cool car.
Yeah.
Like, you can be a Porsche owner as long as you like, but and you can not like new Beetles, fair enough.
Yeah.
I struggle to think of anybody that owns a P car that wouldn't stand next to that Beetle RSI and go, that's fucking cool. That is cool.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen one up close, but that was the first one I had a proper poke around. Yeah. I've seen them at a show in a distance. I might have taken a photo, but up close, they're special.
The
front seats are completely unique to them. The door cards are full carbon. There's carbon everywhere else in the cabin. I didn't check for reference, but the leather looks so much like Porsche leather.
I wouldn't be at all surprised,
down to the perforations in the seat insert. That is like MK9 Porsche perf. And
weird.
Yeah, very cool.
I wonder how much of it, because it's a different era, isn't it? Carmen, when they made the Corrado, it was, you know, again, that was the approach taken on the early cars of those. They were kind of very much almost coach built, you know, everything that was hand built inside. Yeah, so, and then what, 250 of those Beetle RSIs they made?
250, I think, worldwide,
Really cool, really cool. But it's important. The point we're trying to make, and what I'm trying to make, is that, and I said this in the previous episode about my car, it's worth doing your research. It's worth persevering. Don't rush it. Don't put heavy dates on people. If someone's doing the work on the car, whether it's paint, whatever it is, and they're saying, I'm struggling, do you mind waiting a little bit longer? You will appreciate seeing that car done to its best rather than hurrying someone.
Yeah.
Hey, I hope you're really enjoying this episode. And if you are enjoying this episode, I have a very small request to make. I'm really trying to grow the YouTube channel at the moment. And whilst it's always nice when people naturally gravitate towards it and subscribe and like and share. I'm going to actually ask you, if you're enjoying this episode and you've enjoyed the Rengineering podcast so far, to head over to YouTube and subscribe. And yeah, let me know what you think of any of those episodes and if there's anything you'd like to see in the future. But for now, I'll head back to the episode, but just that small request. Thanks, take care. So, I think we're at the point where I understand where the story is right now. So what's up for the future for the company, mate? Have you got a master plan, or are you like, this is it, I'm happy here, kind of doing my thing, you know? Or have you got sort of ideas about what you want to do in the future?
I think just keep doing what we're doing. Expanding, I don't think there's any leg for that. Just purely because I don't want to go any bigger in terms of unit space, but I think this is more than enough. The staffing, trying to find qualified trimmers is ridiculous. So yeah, that's not an option. But I just want to pass on the skill now. So yeah, we've got two guys that are learning the trade. One's only just started last week. So she's fresh and new to it. But teaching these younger people, keeping this trade going, I think, is...
It feels like it's one of the few remaining... It's almost like a watchmaker, you know? It's one of those few remaining trades that is... You learn by doing, you learn by coaching.
Yeah.
There's limited amounts of courses you can... I'm sure there are, but there's limited amounts of courses. You can't send someone away for 6 months and they come back a fully formed trimmer and off they go, right?
It doesn't happen.
You make mistakes and you do it again, and then you get better, and over years you become a master at it.
Yeah, and you're dead right. And you know, it's an apprenticeship, but you don't go to college. You know, everything's learned in house.
Yeah,
you're hands on. You've got to do it. If it's not right, you do it wrong.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in terms of growing it, and I'm happy where we've grown to. I don't think there's any more room to grow. But it's good. What I would like to do, if I had time and money, is do more YouTube, because the feedback I had from doing those few episodes, I think I did 4 or 5, you know, the feedback, people seeing what we do on the daily, is informative and a good watch. But
yeah, it is.
That's time consuming, and I can't do
that. I know. It's really time consuming. Hope you enjoy it, by the way. If you are enjoying this episode or any of the other episodes, it really does help if you like and subscribe and share the episode. Yeah. So I know everyone says that.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's time and money. And it's the time it takes to video this stuff, and like, you're not working at a pace where you're really earning money. You're taking time to capture it on video, and you might be doing things twice because he hasn't pressed record.
Yeah.
You know,
I know that isn't. I'm still doing that. I'm still doing that. I'm not a master of this.
That would be cool. And like, yeah, the social side of things, I do updates and posts, but it's not often enough.
Yeah, but you've got a business to run, and you've got, you know, great work to do. Let's finish up on your car, mate,
cool.
Because it's a Guards Red 964. What else do I need to know? What, you know, where did you buy it? Where, you know, what was the situation?
It's an 89 C2 manual.
Yeah.
Hunting for a little while. This one was for sale with Ollie at Bure Valley Classics.
Right.
Sound guy. Still keep in contact to him now. Literally spoke to him this week, actually. That C 964 turbo over there, and that is a car he sold to current owner, who has bought it and booked it in. Colour change, so yeah, sound, good company. But yeah, when I bought it, there was three things: manual, C2, coupe.
Yep.
Colour, not specific, but I'm quite fond of a red car.
Yeah,
so
same.
It works out quite well. But it needed my stamp on it. Exterior wise, it's changed a fair bit, but the interior when I bought it was like a snow white, white, like vanilla.
Tombstone seats with the big armrests and all the big
factory sport seats in it, but it was retrimmed previously. and it was all vanilla white with vanilla white carpet. Even the dash top was white, the rear shelf was white, and on a sunny day,
wow,
it was just reflection.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, if we got any photos of that,
yeah,
you got any photos of that?
I have got photos of that.
We'll stick them in.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a punchy choice. I mean, yeah, that's full 80s neck beard, chest beard, gold medallion.
Yeah, very Miami Vice for sure. Not my flavour.
No, no.
But yeah, it needed a little bit of love bodywork wise, but predominantly most of the exterior mods that has been carried out is how I got it, really.
Right. Short plate, yeah.
Short number plate recess, that was like it.
Cool.
The wiper system, that's a 993 system, so it's more closer together. Cup mirrors, 993 door handles.
Yeah.
Rear RS glass, so it's had a wiper delete.
Nice.
Rear bumper's been completely smooth, so it's got a G-pipe exhaust that's all tucked up rather than coming out of the right-hand side exit, with a shorter number plate recess as well. But
it's enough, right? Like, yeah, it's really clean. It's almost like a V-Dub guy's had it, and it's been like...
Yeah, it's been shaved.
There's no crazy wings or anything like that. It's very slick looking.
Yeah, super smooth. And part, I've obviously changed the wheels to the augment wheels. And I've had the brake calipers refurbished to red. They were black.
Yeah.
But they needed some love. They were tired.
Yeah.
I was getting terrible, like it was pinching. I had a sticky caliper, so it just made sense. Just they're all in one hit.
Mm-hmm. Suspensions is very low, so is it on?
Suspensions on KWV1s.
Nice.
Drives really nice on them, in fairness.
Yeah.
The first time I drove it, it came with that suspension, and I couldn't believe how it got down the road without shaking your fillings out.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
Really comfortable. And yeah, it's low, but I can clear most things.
Yeah.
Like I've got speed bumps going into my housing estate, and
good.
And that is a beast. Like the caddy, that if you go too quickly at that speed bump with a caddy, that clips.
We'll put some B-roll in the caddy in as well. I love this thing. I absolutely love it. And this is the reason, this car is the reason why that I chose Dave out of the, there's lots of good people out there. But I saw this interior, and you'll see some B-roll footage of it now, and it is... It's not just the quality of the work, it's the attention to detail, it's some of the decisions that were made. You place, especially if you're gonna do something that's gonna be your forever car like my Cayman is, you're not gonna go back and do this job twice, right? So if you go in the wrong direction with it, you're stuck with that. And this car was the one that made me go, no question at all, loved it, absolutely loved it. Dave, thanks so much all of your work. Thanks so much for your time, thanks so much for me being a bit of a pain in the ass as a customer. I don't envy you, but it was worth it in the end, and I'm pretty sure you're as happy as I am with it. So
I'm stoked with it. Yeah, I think the whole package is,
good
nailed
job.
It.
Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as well. I hope you enjoy this tech talk. Any other tech talks, you can watch the playlist. If you're listening on any Spotify or streaming service, you can go into the app and give us a review on there as well. So do that if you can. But back next time. Thank you so much. Take care for now. Bye bye. Thanks, mate.
Sweet.
Appreciate it.
No worries.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Dave's such a lovely guy, and I'm really happy that this car went there. There, like I said at the start, there's lots of different trimmers around the UK, lots of great trimmers around the UK, but actually, in hindsight, I'm really happy that I picked Dave, and I'm really proud of the work that we kind of did together, because some of it was pretty on the edge. Dave wasn't particularly keen on some of my ideas, but we stuck with it and we got there in the end. And I think that it's well worth the effort. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do give it a like, and stick in the comments below what you would do with your interior. Let us know. I'll see you back next week for another video. Don't forget, podcast episodes go out on Thursdays, and typically the videos go out over the weekend following. Take care for now. If you get the chance, go out and drive, and I'll see you soon. Bye for now.